Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? It is 11 days until Christmas. And if you just panicked, you still got time. However, next Sunday, it will be too late. Your gifts will not be under the tree. So get at it. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas and gifts and all those types of things. We all have different traditions for how we celebrate Christmas. Some of us gather with family and friends and loved ones. Some sing Christmas carols. The student ministry, they're going tonight to bless people. They're going to freeze themselves out there as they sing. But they're going to go bless shut-ins and assisted living folks and those kind of things. Maybe you've ever been to a Moravian Love Feast or a candlelight service. You've been to an office party or you've participated in an ugly Christmas sweater party. Some of you are wearing some today, I can tell. There are a variety of ways that we mark the season, right? But the tradition that we probably most share in common, probably something that most of us participate in, is exchanging gifts, the giving and receiving of gifts. And every year, there seems to be a must-have, gotta-have-it gift of the season. Steve Evil Knievel, the action fan, I know who the daredevil stuntman is, but Evil Knievel was a little before my time. How many of you remember Evil Knievel, the stuntman action figure he's talking about, right? My earliest remember, a little bit after that, was in the early 80s. How many of you guys remember these guys, the Cabbage Patch Kids? Anybody have a Cabbage Patch Kid or you knew somebody? Anybody ever buy one or give one or receive one for Christmas? The craze for those dolls was unbelievable. I think they have a tattoo or a birthmark in a special location on their bodies, if I remember correctly. They first came out, they were nearly impossible to find. You couldn't get your hands on one. Some other memorable Christmas gifts for me that I remember as a child, kind of like reminiscing like Steve. Anybody remember Masters of the Universe, He-Man, Skeletor, Castle Grayskull? I had Snake Mountain, you talking to it, and it echoed, rah, rah, rah. Right? That was one of mine. I also received Transformers, Optimus Prime, and Megatron. Maybe you remember G.I. Joe, Cobra. Anybody get any of these Christmas items as a child? All right. The action figures, the vehicles. And then the mid-80s. This was the Christmas gift of the mid-80s. 85, 86, 87. Yeah, y'all remember the Nintendo NES, Nintendo Entertainment System. How many of y'all had one of these things growing up? Right. My dad swore that if I connected it to the TV, I was going to break the television. Right. That was his theory. My family and friends, we spent hours playing Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, Contra, Metroid, up, up, down, down, left, right. You remember? The Legend of Zelda. My mom actually kicked us out of the room and spent hours playing Tetris. Hours. Just a few of the games that we played on that Nintendo Entertainment System. In the 1990s, some of y'all remember this. How many remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, and somebody else. Leonardo. Yeah, I knew somebody would know, right? You had action figures and video games and all kinds of stuff. And then came that purple and green dinosaur. You remember him? Right? Barney. Anybody have a Barney doll? Press the button. I love you. You love me. I want to bang my head against a tree. Right? Something like that. My nephew got one for Christmas, and I was so, so sick of the song by New Year's Day. I was so tired of that song. And then there was this gift in 1996 that brought out an all-out frenzy. How many of you had a Tickle Me Elmo? Anybody give or receive a Tickle Me Elmo? It was the must-have gift of the year. I was a freshman in college, telling you how old I am, when a Walmart employee was stampeded as parents fought to get their hands on this cherished gift. Every season, there seems to be this must-have, gotta-have gift. And then there's some gifts that goes beyond toys. There's some gifts that can't go under the tree. Some gifts that you simply can't wrap. I want you to take a look at this video.
Come this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew. You mind if I carry him?
I had several people in the first service tell me they had a similar experience, either coming home or receiving a loved one home from a deployment. That soldier arrived home from Korea, was able to surprise his mom. Everything changed. Her whole world lit up when she saw her son back from Korea. Those videos of people being surprised with the unexpected presence of a loved one, they're so inspiring. They're so moving. There's another video of a six-year-old girl. Her name is Jordan Bakersfield. She's visiting Santa at the mall. She's telling Santa what she wants. She's there with her mom and her little sister. Jordan climbs into the lap of Santa, and she starts listing off all the things that she wants for Christmas. Her dad had been deployed to Afghanistan. So Santa says, "I want you to close your eyes." And when she opened them, her father was standing in front of her. She wrapped her arms around her daddy, and she would not let go. Nobody remembers what Jordan asked Santa for that day. Nobody remembers what she received under the tree that year. But they'll never forget who was standing in front of her that morning. The presence of her father became the greatest gift that she received that Christmas. And some of you understand this deeply at this time of year. In fact, I just talked with one of my friends, and he just said he's got a sibling who's struggling. Because some of us, we would trade everything wrapped under the tree, every dollar that we possess, we would trade it all just to have the presence of someone that we love, just to lay our eyes on them again. Someone who's passed away, or someone who lives far away, or someone for whatever reason that maybe you know and you don't care to share, but you know the pain, that you would love to have somebody at your table this Christmas, and it's not going to happen. Of course, physical gifts are wonderful, but the presence of a loved one, that is priceless. Perhaps how we celebrate and the ways that we celebrate Christmas, maybe it looks much different now, much differently now that you've grown up than it did as a child or in your childhood. Some traditions, they come and go. You don't do things that you used to do for a variety of reasons, but hear this. The presence of Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, he has not gone anywhere. He is with us, and that fact remains unchanged. The greatest gift ever given was the presence of God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so around Christmas time, we talk about Jesus and his birth and his arrival. You're familiar with Luke's gospel account. Maybe you've seen it, Charlie Brown and Peanuts. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken. How many of you guys have ever read that or heard that at Christmas time, right? My family, at least you should raise your hands. We read it every stinking Christmas morning. Maybe you're familiar with Matthew's version. He's writing about Jesus' family tree. He goes into a lengthy genealogy, tells about the story. He tells a story from Joseph's perspective. He writes about the wise men and the gifts. In fact, I heard one of our Sunday school groups were studying this passage, talking about the villainous evil King Herod and how he wanted to kill all the children he was threatened. So you have Luke and you have Matthew. And then John does a radically different telling of the Christmas story. He goes back much further into history. He doesn't take us back to Bethlehem. He goes back before time itself began. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is telling us that Jesus, he's calling Jesus the Word, Logos. Logos, this name, this phrase that he's applying to Jesus means the expression or declaration of a thought. If you think something, then whatever you say is expressing that thought. That's what he's applying to Jesus. John is telling us Jesus is God expressed. He is God revealed. Jesus is God made visible. Jesus is God made tangible. Jesus is God made touchable. And then he continues in verse 14, so the Word became human, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's the heart of Christmas. That's the purpose of the tree and the presents and the candy canes and all that we do, the stage design and the worship songs. It's all reflecting on the gift that God gave us through his Son, Christ Jesus. And so the rest of today's sermon, I want us to look at what makes a gift special. Because we put a lot into gifts, and God put a lot into his gift to us. And so what makes a gift truly special? Sometimes it can be extravagant, expensive, but usually it's the thought that counts. It's all about thoughtfulness. This is a Mother's Day gift. It says right here, 2024. I don't have to do much thinking. Emma gave Lori this exact coupon book. Custom made. You can see her handwriting there. I said first service, she's either going to be a serial killer or a doctor. Right? This is good for a car wash. Breakfast in bed. Good for one house cleaning. Good for a massage. Little notes are tucked away in here from Emma to her mom. And Lori started thumbing through, flipping through, reading a word, seeing the thoughtfulness on each page, every task that was laid out. And the whole purpose of this book was for a child to spoil her mother. No offense, Emma, while your mom loves this book, anybody want to give me $5 for it? Anybody? Nobody. This book wouldn't sell for a dollar in most bookstores. These little slips of paper, worth nothing to you all, mean the world to Lori because of the planning and the purpose, the personal touch. The funny thing is, interestingly, none of the coupons have been used. I'm pretty sure that Emma had hoped that Lori would forget about this little book. You know, she spent hours making it and probably minutes praying that mom would quickly forget to redeem some of them. In fact, and this is a true story as I stand here preaching, when Lori asked to cash one in recently, Emma told her that the coupon had expired. So there's this. I had a friend of mine. He teaches Emma English this year. His name's Chuck. Chuck's a great guy. And the assignment that he had given was that they were reading stories of heroes. Heroes on 9/11 specifically. Maybe you've heard the story of the man wearing the red bandana. If you haven't heard that or read that, don't do it now, but Google the man wearing the red bandana. They read that story, and he sent me this picture of the homework assignment in a text. Emma didn't know that he had texted me this, but the question was, who is a hero? Emma replied, I would say my dad because he always puts me first. Can't disagree with that, right? Well, of course. I can't tell you how thankful I was that my buddy shared these words of my daughter with me. I was so humbled, and he did it unbeknownst to Emma. In fact, when I told Emma that, hey, he sent it to me, she got really mad at him and me, and I was like, what'd you expect? What it communicated to me was I matter to her, that she thinks about me, that she notices. And that's exactly what John wants us to see with Jesus in a similar way. God didn't grab a last-minute gift on his way to fixing the world. Jesus wasn't some all-of-a-sudden solution to a problem that just popped up and caught God off guard. No, Christmas, the birth of Christ, has been planned for eternity. God was thoughtful, meticulous, personal, extravagant, especially costing himself deeply. Listen to verses 3 and 4 in John chapter 1. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. We're talking about Jesus. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus was involved in creation itself. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, as we read the creation story, reading the events unfolding, here's what we know. Humanity has already fallen deeply and steeply into sin. And immediately God makes a promise. Go back and take a look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It speaks of the seed of the woman crushing the serpent's head. And you may not notice it. You may not catch the significance, the uniqueness of that verse. Her offspring is rare. Any reference to an offspring in Scripture typically refers to a father to a son. He begat so-and-so. He gave birth to, or he is the father of. He is the seed of so-and-so. But because Jesus had no biological, had no human father, there's a hint tucked away in Genesis chapter 3. There's this Easter egg hidden just below the surface of the text. And the message is this: Jesus is God's one and only beloved, precious, sacred Son. God was preparing for Christmas from the very beginning of the book, the holy book that we read, with every single prediction, every single prophecy written and recorded in the Old Testament. God is whispering something to his people. Someone is coming. Hope is on the way. The solution is coming. I want you to listen to this powerful prediction about the Messiah. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he, talking about the Messiah, took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. God plainly declared, the Messiah will bear our suffering. The Christ, the Savior, the one I'm sending, will be pierced for our sins. He will take our punishment. He will heal us, rescuing us from the punishment that we deserve. Over and over, God is whispering to us, his people, someone is coming. Just hang on. Someone is coming. Just be patient. Someone's coming. And then one silent night in Bethlehem, while shepherds were out watching their sheep, the angels finally proclaim, someone has come. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. God has been preparing from the very beginning for the birth of Jesus. Christmas, his birth, is the most thoughtful gift in human history. So what else makes a gift memorable and special? It's sacrifice. It means more when it costs something. We are so moved by the willingness of someone else, another person, to give up something on our behalf. I'm going to go without so that you can have something. Nothing says you matter, I value you, than when someone says, no, you have it, and I'll go without. Kelsey Swick, a young mother from Florida, was flying with her 11-month-old daughter, Lucy. It happened to be twins. There's a healthy twin, and then there was Lucy. Lucy had some health issues. They were traveling from Orlando to the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia during the Christmas season of 2018. Lucy had a chronic lung disease. And so her mom, Kelsey, not only was she toting this 11-month-old baby, think about this, they were flying from Orlando to Philadelphia. And so here's this mom toting this baby, which would be a task. And on top of that, this medical gear, an oxygen tank and tubes and everything that this little child needed for survival. Imagine the morning. And they make their way through the concourse, onto the airplane, and they squeeze, and I don't know how, imagine this show, her squeezing her way down the aisle, baby in tow, medical device, like just imagine this, all the way back to coach. She sits down in her seat, ready, buckling in for another trip to the children's hospital. and a flight attendant approaches. "Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry to bother you. There's this gentleman in first class. He's seated in the second row. He wants to know if you want to switch seats with him." "Of course. Of course," she accepts. Then she later writes this on social media. She says, "A message to the man in seat 2D. Not able to hold back tears, I cried my way up the aisle while my daughter laughed and giggled. She felt it in her bones, the real pure goodness. I smiled and thanked you as we passed by, just as they crossed paths, switching seats, but I didn't get a chance to thank you properly. So, thank you. Not just for the seat itself, thank you for noticing, for seeing us, for realizing that maybe things aren't always easy. Thank you." You know, I love this story because it points to the gospel. God sees you. He notices you. He knows every burden that you're carrying right at this moment. He knows the doubt you have. He knows the struggle with sin that you have. He knows what weighs on your heart. And you know what he says? "Can we trade places? Will you switch seats with me? I'll swap places with you." Jesus gave up his majestic throne in heaven, where a choir of angels tells him how awesome he is every day, all day. He left heaven for a manger and eventually found himself on a cross. Why? So that you and me, so that we can live forever with him in heaven. Frederick Buechner writes of this precious moment, this tremendous sacrifice by God. The child born the night among the beast, the baby that sweet breath among the steaming dung of beasts, nothing will ever be the same again. Those who believe in God can never in a way be sure of him again. Once they've seen him in a manger, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of humanity. To what depths will our God go to rescue us broken, fallen people? That is God's love. That is how vast and how huge and how mighty it is. God's presence, it assigns worth to you. It's not about your performance. It's not about your appearance. It's not about your resume. It's not about your bank account. It's not about social media. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you've done. Jesus came for you. That's why he came. That alone defines you, gives you your value, tells you your worth. Here's the thing about Christmas. The only thing that is required of us on Christmas morning at a Christmas party, the only thing we have to do is just to receive it. I get a present, I unwrap it, I open it, and it's mine. I use it, I play with it, I hang it up. It's mine. And the same is true for Jesus. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become," listen, "children of God." The gift God offers you is a father-child relationship. I'll love you. I'll look out for you. I'll bless you. Give you joy. I'll change you. I'll transform you. For some of you, you've never received this gift from God. But what do I have to do? You just got to receive it. You just got to say, "God, here's my heart." For many of us, we've done this. "God, there's not much here, but you can have all I got." And some of you are sitting here, you've forgotten that you've made this exchange with God. that you've received this gift. You are his child. Don't forget. Some of you say, I want in. Come on, be a part of the family. If you want his presence in your life, if you want God's forgiveness, if you want God's peace, if you want companionship with the God of the universe, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to do. You just have to open your arms and say, I'm in. I want to be part of your family. God's here. He's here. He was here yesterday with you. 3 years ago, your darkest moment, God was there. He's always been present. Always with you. Are you willing to receive him as Lord and Savior this morning? 11 days till Christmas. I can think of no better gift than salvation from God. Let's pray. Father, you've blessed me. I've had great parents, gave me all kinds of gifts and imagination as a child. Been people throughout my life that you've sent to bless me. What a beautiful family, church family. I have so much to be thankful for. But above all of that is the exchange that you allow me to have through Jesus Christ, where I could go from sinner to saint, from dead to alive. You make that offer to everyone who can hear my voice, that this Christmas would be different, whether for the first time, maybe we've heard this story for 70 years. Would you light a new fire, a new passion in the hearts of everyone in this room? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, someone came forward just this morning. They want to be baptized. They want to receive Christ. Race them to the line. Come on home. I'll be standing right down here. Receive Christ today. Let's stand together. Let's sing.